grief. Oh, it's tough, right? It's something we all have to deal with at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Today, we're going to deep dive into 10 practical ways to cope with grief and manage overwhelming emotions.
Okay.
From Lifestyle Hub 101, you guys shared this with us, and I thought what was really cool about this article
Yeah.
is that it doesn't just like dwell on the sadness, you know? It gives us tools to actually like move through it.
Totally. I completely agree.
What do you think?
I think one of the most valuable things it does
Hmm.
is acknowledging that grief isn't just sadness.
Right.
It's this like whole mix of emotions,
Yes.
almost like a tidal wave.
Yeah.
You ever felt that like
Oh,
overwhelming rush of all these different feelings?
absolutely. It's like being tossed around in the ocean. And
Exactly.
the article mentions that it can actually manifest physically too,
Right.
like fatigue, trouble concentrating, even headaches.
Yeah.
It's so wild how our bodies react to emotional pain.
It is fascinating.
Right.
That mind-body connection is just so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's something that, like the Kubler-Ross model, that the stages of grief
Yeah.
doesn't always capture. Denial, anger, bargaining,
Yeah.
depression, acceptance.
Right.
Those can be helpful like guideposts,
Sure.
but grief isn't always so linear.
Totally. And it's not like you just check off the stages and you're done. It's
Yeah.
more like this messy swirl, you know?
Yeah.
But like, where do we even begin to unpack all
Well,
this?
the article emphasizes acknowledging the loss as that first step.
Okay.
And it sounds simple,
Yeah.
but it's powerful.
Right.
Sometimes our instinct is to push the pain down,
Sure.
but true healing starts with actually acknowledging what's happened.
That resonates with me. You know, when I lost my grandmother a while back, I tried to stay busy and just act like everything was fine.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to realize I needed to actually sit with the grief and just let myself feel it, you know?
That's a brave realization.
Yeah.
And it leads into the article's point about self-compassion. Think about it. If your friend was grieving, you wouldn't tell them to just get over it or
Yeah.
judge them for their tears.
Right.
We need to offer ourselves that same kindness.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
Self-compassion, but how do we actually put that into practice? It feels kind of abstract.
Yeah. Well, the article gives some really practical advice. So instead of beating yourself up for
Yeah.
feeling sad or saying, I should be over this by now,
Right.
try saying something like, it's okay to feel this way. Healing takes time.
It's almost like you have to reparent yourself in a way,
Exactly.
you know, like
Yeah.
offer that same comfort and understanding you would to a child who's hurting.
Yes. And another part of that self-compassion is avoiding comparisons.
Okay.
Everyone grieves differently. There's no right or wrong way to do it.
So we're acknowledging the loss. We're being gentle with ourselves. What else can help us ride those waves of grief?
Well, the article talks about the importance of having a support system. And I think this is where it gets really interesting. It's not just about having people around.
Right.
It's about actively building a network of support.
Yeah, I get that. When my dad passed away, I felt so isolated,
Yeah.
but I reached out to a grief support group.
Okay.
And it was incredible to connect with people who truly understood what I was going through.
That's amazing. Support groups like GriefShare, which the article mentions,
Yeah.
can be so powerful, but it can also involve being honest with your loved ones about what you need.
Yeah.
Do you need someone to just listen, help with practical tasks, be specific?
And speaking of being specific, I think setting boundaries is crucial too.
Yes.
It's okay to say no to social events or interactions if they feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
You have permission to protect your
For
energy.
sure.
What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Boundaries are essential when you're going through grief.
Yeah.
It's a time when self-care becomes like paramount.
Right.
And that includes protecting your emotional well-being.
Totally.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So we talked about acknowledging the loss, practicing self-compassion, and building a support network.
yeah.
But what about like those moments when grief just feels completely overwhelming, when you feel like you're drowning in it, you know?
That's where grounding techniques come in.
Okay.
The article describes them as like emergency tools.
Okay.
And I
Yeah.
think that's such a fitting analogy.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of these techniques?
I've heard the term, but I'm not really sure what they entail.
Okay. Yeah. So they're basically strategies that help bring you back to the present moment when like your mind is racing or you're just feeling super overwhelmed.
Right.
And the science behind them is really cool.
Okay.
So, when we're stressed or anxious, our sympathetic nervous system kicks in.
Yeah.
It triggers that fight or flight response, And grounding techniques help activate the parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
Which calms things down.
So it's like hitting the pause button on that emotional roller coaster.
Exactly. One simple technique the article mentions is the 4-7-8 breath.
Okay.
So you inhale deeply for a count of 4.
Okay.
Hold for 7 and exhale slowly for 8.
Got it.
It's amazing how such a simple exercise can just like totally shift your state of being.
Yeah, I've tried that before and it really does work.
It does.
It's like a mini vacation for your nervous system.
Exactly.
Are there any other grounding techniques you find helpful?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Another one they talk about is the 5-4-3-2-1 method.
Okay.
And it's where you engage each of your senses.
Okay.
By noticing 5 things you can see,
mm-hmm.
4 things you can touch,
mm-hmm.
3 things you can hear,
yeah.
2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste.
Okay.
It's a great way to just ground yourself in the present moment.
Yeah.
By focusing on your senses.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something I do when I'm feeling anxious.
Oh, yeah?
I carry a small, smooth stone in my pocket.
Okay.
And I just like focus on the feel of it.
Oh, I love that.
It's just like a physical reminder to stay present.
It's like a little anchor to bring you back to shore when the waves get rough.
Exactly.
And speaking of anchors, another powerful tool is creating a safe space in your mind.
Okay.
Like a place you can visualize when you need to feel calm and peaceful.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've got grounding techniques to help weather those emotional storms.
Yeah.
But what about actually processing the grief itself?
Right.
How do we move through those waves of sadness, anger, confusion?
That's where expressing your grief comes in.
Okay.
And I love how the article emphasizes that there's no one-size-fits-all approach here.
Right.
It's about finding what resonates with you.
Yeah.
And allows you to release those pent-up emotions.
Right.
What comes to mind for you when you think about expressing grief?
For me, it's always been journaling.
Oh, okay.
It's just a safe space to just pour out my heart, you know.
That's great.
Without judgment, without filter, just everything.
There's something so cathartic about getting those thoughts and feelings out of your head and onto paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it can even help you uncover patterns or insights.
Oh, for sure.
That you might not have noticed otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The article also mentions art and music as forms of expression.
Absolutely.
Have you had any experience with those?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Art and music can be incredibly therapeutic.
Yeah.
Whether it's painting, playing an instrument,
mm-hmm.
or even just listening to music that reflects your emotions.
Yeah.
You know, they can help tap into feelings that might be difficult to express in words.
I know a lot of people find comfort in creating playlists that honor their loved one.
That's a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
It's like weaving a tapestry of sound that reflects that complex, you know, mix of emotions.
Terribly.
Speaking of complexity, we also need to talk about triggers.
Yes, triggers.
Those seemingly insignificant things
that
could just send you spiraling back into intense grief.
It's like being blindsided by a wave you didn't even see coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the article does a great job of explaining it's not about avoiding triggers altogether, which is often impossible.
Yeah.
It's about identifying them and developing coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed specific things that trigger your grief?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's
for me, it's often scents.
Oh, wow.
Certain perfumes or colognes.
Okay.
It can just instantly transport me back to a memory with my loved one.
Yeah.
And the grief just hits me like a ton of bricks.
That's so powerful. And it really shows how our senses are just so intertwined with memory and emotion.
Totally.
And the good news is once you've identified your triggers.
Yeah.
You can start to develop a plan for how to navigate them.
So it's not about pretending they won't happen. It's about having the tools in place.
Exactly.
For when they do.
Exactly. And those tools can be as unique as the person.
Okay.
Some people find distraction helpful, like going for a walk, calling a friend.
Yeah.
Engaging in a hobby that brings them joy.
Yeah.
Others find comfort in like self-soothing techniques.
Right.
Like deep breathing or meditation.
Okay.
And sometimes it's about setting boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, politely excusing yourself from a situation or conversation that's triggering you.
It sounds like it's about just finding what works for you.
Exactly.
And having a toolbox of strategies.
Precisely. And speaking of toolboxes.
Yeah.
The article also acknowledges that sometimes, even with the best coping mechanisms.
Right.
Grief can just feel too big to handle on your own.
That's a really important point.
Yeah.
And it's okay to ask for professional help when you need it.
For sure.
It's a sign of strength.
Absolutely.
It's a sign of self-awareness.
Yes.
The article mentions some signs of complicated grief, like persistent sadness, difficulty functioning, and a preoccupation with the loss.
Yeah.
And if you're experiencing any of those, it's crucial to reach out to a therapist or a counselor who specializes in grief.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that therapy isn't a one-size-fits-all solution either. You know, there are various approaches like grief counseling, cognitive behavioral therapy, even group therapy.
Yeah.
You know, where you can connect with others who are going through similar things.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yeah, it's about finding the right fit for your needs and your personality.
Right.
And sometimes it takes a little bit of trial and error to find a therapist that you feel comfortable with who can really guide you on this journey.
This has been such a great conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about grief, which is inherently a heavy topic.
Right.
But there is a glimmer of hope woven throughout this whole article.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
It's not just about surviving the loss.
Yeah.
It's about finding ways to heal and discover, like, new meaning and purpose in the midst of the pain.
Yeah. And that leads perfectly to the last section of the article, which is about honoring the memory of our loved ones.
Yeah.
And finding ways to keep their spirit alive in our lives. What resonates with you from this section?
I love how it encourages us to create rituals and traditions that keep our loved ones' memory present.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding ways to honor their legacy.
Yeah.
In a way that feels authentic to you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's such a beautiful way to keep their spirit alive in our hearts and in the world.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be anything grand or elaborate.
Exactly.
Sometimes the simplest gestures are the most powerful.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as lighting a candle on their birthday.
Yeah.
Cooking their favorite meal.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing stories about them with loved ones.
The article mentions planting a tree or flowers in their name.
Yeah.
Creating a memory box filled with their favorite things, honoring them through art or music.
Uh-huh.
I find those ideas incredibly moving.
They are.
Yeah.
And you know, those acts of remembrance don't just honor our loved ones.
Yeah.
But they also help us process our grief and find solace in keeping their memory alive.
It's like weaving their essence into the fabric of our lives, even though they're physically gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another way to honor their memory is through acts of kindness.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you say?
It's about channeling our grief into something positive.
Yeah.
And making a difference in the world in their name.
Right.
Have you ever considered doing something like that?
I have, actually. When my aunt passed away a few years ago, she was so passionate about animal rescue. So in her memory, I started volunteering at a local shelter.
That's beautiful.
It's been incredibly rewarding, and it feels like I'm honoring her spirit in a way that's aligned with her values.
And it really speaks to the transformative power of grief, you know?
Right.
It's not just about the loss.
Yeah.
It can be a catalyst for growth and change.
The article also mentions donating to a charity in their name, or even doing random acts of kindness for a stranger. It's like taking all that love and channeling it outward.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything big or complicated.
Right.
Sometimes the smallest acts.
Yeah.
Like offering a genuine compliment or holding the door open for someone can have a positive impact.
It's like paying it forward in their honor.
Exactly.
You know, spreading their light.
Yeah.
This whole conversation has been so insightful.
It has.
We've covered so much.
We have.
From the emotional and physical aspects of grief to finding support, developing coping mechanisms, and even honoring our loved ones.
Right.
But I feel like there's one thing we haven't really talked about.
Okay.
What happens next?
That's a big one.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's no easy answer.
Right.
Grief is a journey.
Yeah.
And the path looks different for everyone.
I remember after my dad passed away, I just felt so lost.
Yeah.
It was like my whole world had been turned upside down.
Right.
And I didn't know who I was or what my purpose was anymore.
That's a completely normal reaction to loss.
Yeah. You know, it's like the ground beneath you has shifted.
Exactly.
And you're trying to find your footing again.
And I think that's where the article's emphasis on finding meaning and purpose comes in.
Yes.
It's not just about coping.
Right.
It's about integrating that loss into our lives and figuring out how to move forward.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's about acknowledging that, you know, even though a chapter has closed, our own story continues.
Yeah.
And we have the power to shape that story.
Right.
To decide how we want to honor the past while embracing the future.
It's empowering, isn't it?
It is.
Even though grief can feel so heavy and all-consuming.
Yeah.
We still have choices.
We do.
We can choose to let it define us.
Right.
Or we can choose to find ways to grow and heal and even discover new sources of joy and purpose.
That's a beautiful message to leave our listeners with.
Yeah.
Grief doesn't have to be the end of the story.
Yeah.
It can be the beginning of a new chapter.
Right.
One that's filled with both sorrow and unexpected beauty. So well said. As we wrap up this deep dive into grief,
yeah,
what's one final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would encourage them to reflect on this question.
Okay.
How can you use this experience with grief to shape a more meaningful and compassionate life, both for yourself and for those around you?
That's such a powerful question.
Yeah.
It's like a reminder that even though grief can feel so isolating, it's a universal experience.
Yeah.
And in that shared humanity,
yeah,
there's a potential for connection,
yes,
empathy, and for creating a world that's a little bit kinder.
Exactly. And remember, you're not alone on this journey.
Yeah.
There are resources available, support groups, therapists, and people in your life who care about you and want to help.
Right.
Don't be afraid to reach out.
That's so important. Mm-hmm. We all need a little help sometimes.
We do.
Especially when we're navigating something like grief.
For sure.
And remember, be kind to yourself. Yeah. Allow yourself to grieve in your own way and in your own time.
There's no right or wrong way to do this.
Yeah.
And even though it might feel impossible at times, trust that healing is possible.
Yeah.
It might not be linear. It might not be easy.
Right.
But there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thank you.
Into the world of grief.
It's been great.
We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic.
Yes, we will.
Until then, take care.